I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear listeners, my very dear sisters. Welcome to Muslim Lady. This is Asma, your humble host, and here with me I have my very dear sister, Sister Sadiqa. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome to Muslim Lady.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Of course, same in here. So, my very dear listeners, ladies and sisters and mothers and girls, everyone all around the world, I hope you're doing well. Since the story of infertility was a very sad, and I don't want to use interesting because that is sad, yet it has got a lot of things to talk about it. We're going to do another segment for you in order to dig a little bit deeper and see what happens in the mind of the person who's going through this drudgery, actually, through this burden that has been put to her by nature, which, of course, had no role in this problem that is happening to her. So, sister, we talked that when a woman, a girl, grows up with the idea of one day I will be a mother, and then she comes up with a situation that she has been told that she's not going to have a baby, she will not be able to carry a child of her own flesh and blood, then she goes through a mental breakdown.
Yes, so when it comes to maintaining that sanity while people are going through infertility treatments, it can be very hard, especially when you see children around, when you see your friends and, you know, family having their own children.
Yeah.
And having that, you know, banter that comes with having children, it creates a lot of internal guilt, a lot of internal hatred sometimes.
Exactly.
And it is, like we said, it is important for women and couples to realize that infertility does not define them. It's just something that has come on them. And so there are ways to cope with these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is support between the couples.
And actually, you mentioned hatred. It's very true, you know, because I have seen women who have been undertaking this issue. And while they go through this problem, they would hate everything because, you know, what happens in their mind, they would say, it's natural. Everybody is carrying a child. It comes so naturally to many people. Why me?
Exactly. And this why me is can be very killing for a woman inside.
Exactly, yeah. It's very killing.
And when this guilt that comes with it can, you know, guilt can either be healthy or unhealthy. Now, a lot of this guilt that comes with
infertility. Why she feels guilt?
Because women are made to believe, or rather, not only made to believe, it is a natural occurrence that women carry the child.
Does it come from the expectations of people?
It is of several folds, right? So one, some women have a desire to become mothers, and when it doesn't happen, especially if they've been using for birth control for many years.
Yeah.
Or they've probably had an abortion in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And now they sort of feel that maybe this is punishment for the past actions.
Exactly.
And yeah. We know many people use birth control for quite a few years before they start trying for a child.
Yes.
Especially in today's society with the demands that happen. Mm-hmm. People need to plan. There's a lot of family planning that goes on. But know that birth control is not there to haunt you. Sometimes infertility is because of different issues that happen in the body that we've already discussed.
And of course, one of them is the old age, because recently women get to marry at an age which is very, we could say that it's very late for marriage and for having children.
Yes, but again, when we come down to how they should deal with what they're going through, first is just know that telling a woman not to feel guilty is basically useless.
Yes,
I'm not going to say that.
Because it happens so naturally.
It's going to happen to them. Yeah. They're going to beat themselves up over it. But first thing they can do is practice a bit of self-compassion. Let yourself know that, fine, this is a test from Allah for me.
That's very difficult, though.
It is very difficult, but as we understand that tasks are there to refine us, tasks are there to let us progress, it can be very difficult, but some people might come out on the other side more stronger than they were. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that everyone comes out like this, because people do get into postpartum depression, especially exactly. if one of their infertility treatments did end up in a pregnancy. And they do end up in postpartum depression because of the stress they've gone before. So first thing is, while you're going through the treatments, just practice a bit of self-compassion. Treat yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
Obviously, treat yourself with healthy food that is not going to disrupt the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if you need, go for therapy.
That is very important. You know, I was watching a documentary, and then there was a woman who's been going through the very same issue that we're talking about. She's been through so much of abortions, and she could not conceive a child for so long in order to give birth to him or her. And then the thing that happened to her, she committed suicide. So you see, they go through so much of mental issues, depression, and the pressure they feel from the environment. So it's going to be so brutal.
And therapy is very important,
yeah,
because
that is
we need to express and understand that these emotions are normal. To feel sad when you can't conceive is a normal reaction. But it should not overtake a person's life. And therapy is very useful. Unfortunately, in some cultures, therapy is seen as for the weak only. It is not a statement of a person being weak. It's a statement of a person being strong because they've taken the step to better their mental health.
Yeah.
Because mental health is very important in the treatments, while they're going through treatments. And if this treatment does result in a pregnancy, which is carried to term,
we actually have to come to reconcile
exactly.
with the idea that we have a body and we have a spirit. Both of them need to go to therapists.
Yes, so this therapy for the mental health of a mother is going to be very important, especially if the pregnancy does come to term. A lot of women start to say that when they've gone through the stress of infertility treatments, which end in a pregnancy and a birth, they can never detach from that stress.
Mm-hmm.
They always keep on waking up in the night to make sure the child is breathing and alive.
Yeah.
And that mental health can have a massive toll on their own health
mm-hmm.
and can have a toll on their couple's health.
Yeah.
Because the stress is one of the biggest reasons for breakup in marriages.
Yeah. And also stress is a reason maybe for her miscarriage.
Sometimes stress does contribute to infertility treatments not seeing a result
mm-hmm.
because the mothers need to be calm, because stress affects every part of the body. I'm not sure about some, but others do go through, when they go through stress, they see the body reacting, such as body pains and headaches.
Yes, exactly.
Which makes every day much more difficult to get
yeah.
through. So we mentioned therapy and self-compassion. And another thing is don't drive your family away. Right? They are well-wishers. They might keep on talking a lot about the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And they might
and
keep
reminding
on...
reminding you of that point
exactly.
all the time.
And they keep on asking about, how did your treatment go? How did your treatment go? Now, this is two-sided. One side, the family needs to take a break. But the other side, know that these are your well-wishers. They're going to be your biggest emotional support. Especially
yeah.
on those down days. Don't
I guess
drive
the family
away.
Also have to be educated on that
exactly.
point.
They need to learn to give them some space.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go barging into their personal life. Whatever happens as they go through these treatments is between the couple. It's not between the couple and the family.
Exactly, yeah.
So keep your space.
The family are there just to be supportive.
Exactly, but not to offer too many opinions.
Yes,
because
that's a killer.
People have opinions while they're not in the other person's shoe. Neither do they bother to put themselves in the other person's
shoe. That's very true.
They have their own opinions. I can have 2-3 children and then start to try and offer opinions on a person who's going through infertility. For heaven's sake, I have no idea what she's going through. I might have been able to conceive naturally, but she's going through a whole other journey which I have no idea about. So
yeah.
if I go about offering opinions about, or you know what, to conceive, you should eat dates and honey, And she's like, for heaven's sake, I've tried for 5 years.
Exactly.
What dates and honey are you talking about?
Yes. What is that going to do for me?
Exactly. So keep your opinions to yourself. One, just be there as a support mechanism,
yeah.
not an opinionated mechanism.
Exactly.
Right? And then it comes to the couple. The husband and the wife should refrain from blaming each other. Neither of you at fault.
Specifically the husband.
Yes.
Let's go for a little break and I'll be back in no time. Thank you for listening.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Well, sister, is the woman to be blamed for not being capable of conceiving a child?
Like, I was looking into these documentaries on infertility. And one of these consultants was like, the man refuses to come for treatment because it's like, I have no problem. It's
that is a crime.
Issue. When we know that 30% of infertility problems come from the man.
Exactly.
Because it can be, and there can be low sperm count.
And we also have that word for men as well, the barren men.
So
it's not just always the woman.
Sometimes if the issue is from the man, then, you know, they can go through their own treatment as well.
Yeah.
Because it's not... to conceive a child is not the job of one, it's the job of two. And then they start berating the woman. You can't conceive. You are the problem. Look, it's because you're too thin.
Like
or because
using
you're not
your
eating.
Sword and putting it into the heart of that woman.
And it is equal to beating a person when they're down. And I don't think Islam looks very favorably to these sort
yeah.
of issues. Do not beat a person when they're down. Beat them when they're back, when they're able to beat you back.
Exactly.
So when a woman is going through infertility for anyone, and even if it's the man, let's say the man, it's been diagnosed that the man has a problem.
Yeah.
There is no need for the woman to come home and start berating him. I wish I would have married someone else. I would have had a child by now.
See how fair we are in a lady program. We're talking about the rights of men.
They see themselves as the main provider.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, for the ego to have been reduced when they realize that perhaps this problem is from them, it's very hard for them to deal. And men tend to internalize their sorrows. So they might not easily go for therapy as maybe women would. So for a woman to go back and attack her husband and berate him is not going to be helpful.
So the gist is that the both sides should not accuse each other.
Yes, whatever the reproductive organs are going through is not their own fault.
Exactly, yeah.
And if it is a medical issue, it can be resolved because alhamdulillah, we have a lot of medical
science has progressed
yes, science
so
has
much.
Massively progressed, and a lot of these medicines and a lot of treatments are available for both partners.
Yeah.
So that working together is very important.
Many alternative processes are there.
Letting her understand that she's not the problem. He has married her for her.
Exactly.
And
that's
not
the point.
Just to have children. The aim is to have children. But in those sensitive times, they need to understand that the marriage was built upon love and trust. And there is no need to destroy that love and trust in a time when they need it to
they
maintain
the
sanity.
Yes. And love wins, you know.
Love is always there to help a person. And this other point that we can mention to wrap it up is du'as, prayers.
Yeah, constantly. That is very important. And put your trust in God.
Put your trust in Allah. Like we mentioned the story of Prophet Zakaria, who raised his hands in du'a.
Yeah.
He was a prophet, stayed for many years without a child.
And of course, something to mention very important is that he asked for a child in an age that was actually literally impossible for him and his wife to have a child.
Exactly. There's nothing impossible for Allah. When
exactly.
Allah wants to give something, obviously we're talking about occurring within a natural framework. When Allah wants to give something, He will give. Because like Hazrat Maryam said, He's the provider of everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's the sustainer. So if Allah wants to give a child, put your trust in Him, go through your treatments, visit your doctors, and inshallah, there will be a positive result.
Yeah, and have your trust in Allah, and He would do the whole story for you. So the thing that is very important is your mental health. Guys, do not put yourself in a very large barrel of pressure and do not blame yourself too much. This is something natural that might happen to every single one of us. So take care of yourself, and until another session, I bid you farewell.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.